Hi, and welcome to Wild and Woke Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Susan.
Every Thursday, we talk about true crime, conspiracies, paranormal phenomena, and everything weird or unexplained. And today we have Courtney from the Ghoul Guide, round two.
Yay! Yeah.
Courtney.
I'm so excited.
Hello.
I just want to hear it.
Oh my God. I have to say that I am so excited that I'm back here. And on my drive home from this Kentucky tour that I'll be telling you about, I actually sat in the car and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to tell them about this. Like, even if I'm not a guest, I'm just so excited because I told them that something big was going to happen and something big happened.
Oh my gosh. I was keeping up with it. I feel like the whole time you were there, because I forgot the dates that you were going because you told us, but I forgot. And I was like, she's there.
And I was just looking at your pictures from the seminary, like either yesterday or earlier today. They're so good. The pictures are so good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I actually just took them all on my iPhone.
Phones have excellent cameras now.
They do. They really do. So what was that thing you were doing with the Polaroids?
Oh, so I started like this brand new project. So basically on this road trip that I went on, I took like a series of Polaroids because I have one of those like Insta mini little guys. So I bought a crap ton of film and I took it all with me. So I would like open up packages and just shove them in my purse. So I didn't know like what kind of film I had. And I just like went around these locations and took a whole bunch of pictures. And, I took some duplicates and I took some like just one shots and I'm actually selling them so people can take a little part of my investigations with, back home with them.
That's awesome. So cool. I love that idea.
I know everyone has been like super excited about this idea, so I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so happy everyone likes it.
Hang on just one second.
Okay.
Hey, go lie down. Your little clicky claws are not what anybody wants to hear.
I couldn't even hear it. You be nice to him.
It's so loud. Michael, go lie down. Pick a spot, dude. Just pick a spot. It doesn't matter.
Susan, nobody's how did I? How did I not know your dog's name was Michael?
he goes by Mike typically, but like right now never... when he wants to go lie down, he's Michael. I'm
freaking out right now. I've never met an animal named Michael.
I can never say that.
Is the reaction for the fact that I have a dog named Michael?
Why wasn't that your fact on our Instagram the other day?
It would have threw everyone off.
We'll have to do it again because I don't know. It's normal to me.
I'm dying. All right. Whew. Courtney.
I just wanted him to tell everybody flicking around my house.
Tell everybody where you went because I feel like we've been like talking about it, but you haven't like told people where you went.
So actually like, this was a month ago to the day that we're talking that I left for this, little road trip that I went on. So, I started out in Ohio. My first stop was Madison Seminary, which I'm just got done covering on the page. Then I drove about an hour and a half to the Ohio State Reformatory, which is like the old prison out there that they shot, Shawshank Redemption at.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch of, like, artifacts and stuff. Artifacts from the movies. Like, props from the movies.
I got what you meant.
But, like, it was, like, such a super cool place. And you could walk in the jail cells and stuff. Like, they just had them open. So you can, like, just freely walk in them. I did, like, a self-guided tour. And I stayed, like, almost 3 hours in there just walking around aimlessly looking at everything.
That's what I would do, too.
Oh, it was great. But then that day I finished out my drive and I drove to Kentucky. And then the next day after that, I got up and went right to Mammoth Cave, had a little cave tour. Ugh. It was actually super cool in there.
No. I don't believe you.
She has a whole underground situation happening.
Okay, well, it was paved. It's not like I was just going caving and, like, going in, like, open caves.
Like, there were, the whole, like, the earth falling on me that scares me.
Which is understandable, because I remember, like, stopping and, like, looking up, and I was like, holy shit, like, what am I doing here? Instead of being at work right now, I'm hanging out in a cave.
That's so cool that you did that, though. I just could never. I envy people who could, like, go down there and just feel like, Susan, wasn't it you that said you go down there and you just, like, experience this complete darkness for a second?
Yeah, they, in some caves, like, the one that I did that in is Natural Bridge Caverns in Georgetown, Texas. Natural Bridge is in New Braunfels. Anyway, one or the other. I can't remember what the one in Georgetown's called right this second. Interspace. There are parts of that cave that if they turn off the electric lights, it's pure darkness, like truly pure darkness. And it's the most relaxing. I'm just like, could everybody just stop breathing for just for a second? Can we just enjoy the moment where nothing moves and everything's very, very quiet and very, very dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. They said that there was a chance that that could happen. And they also offer tours where the guides will only carry, like, oil lanterns. And, like, there's, like, they'll tell you, like, all, like, the spooky stuff that happens in Mammoth Cave because it's one of the largest cave systems in the world.
Okay. I might be down for that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I wish I could have done that one, but they were only doing the self-guided, like, hour and a half cave tours down there, which was perfect. I didn't even give myself enough time to explore everything else that Mammoth Caves has to offer, because right after that, I drove an hour back to the city and did a tour at Waverly to get all my nerves out before the investigation the night after.
Oh my gosh, how fun. Who were you doing this with?
I went alone. So I drove all by myself, and I didn't meet up with anyone until the night of the Waverly investigation. So, like, we all drove from different places, met up at Waverly, and then dispersed again. But it's really funny because the morning of the Waverly investigation, I was supposed to meet up with two other people, and then they got sidetracked doing something. So I was like, oh, I'll just go cemetery walking. Like, I want to say there was, like, maybe 8 of us from the 10 that were going to Waverly. We're all at Cave Hill, and we just kept missing each other by, like, 5 minutes.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, someone would post on Instagram and be like, oh, I'm over here. We'd be like, oh, we just saw Colonel Sanders' grave, like, 2 minutes ago. Where are you? And then, like, 10 minutes will pass. Be like, oh, I was just there. I almost actually got locked in that cemetery.
That's terrifying.
So I was trying to find the one grave of Patty Hill, I believe her name is. She's the inventor of the Happy Birthday song. So I was going to go and find her grave and hang out for a second, but I couldn't find the section. And some security guard comes barreling up to my car in his car. And he's like, just want to let you know that we're closing. So you could follow me out. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. Because I have absolutely no idea where I'm going. And he calls out his window. He's like, I'm going to make a left, but you're going to make a right. So I made my right. I went back to the same gate that I kept passing 15 times. It was already locked. Had no idea where this guy was going. So I had to speed through this cemetery trying to figure out where I was going. My friend Steve actually almost got locked in there too. So at least I wasn't the only one.
Is this like a big cemetery?
Oh, it's huge.
Wow.
Yeah. The one that I could, like, I say it's like equivalent to Forest Lawn because that's like the one closest to me that's like super huge. But it was, like, one of the biggest, and I just had no idea where I was going. I kept, like, bypassing the same thing. So, like, when I got to the gate, the guy had just let another car out and turned around to lock it. And then he saw my car and he was like, seriously? I could just see it in his face. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault the other gate was closed.
And I just feel like that has to be almost a daily occurrence.
Oh, totally.
Okay, so what kind of grave, whose grave sites did you visit?
I went to Colonel Sanders, hung out with him for a little bit. The wow. man, the myth, the legend.
What year did he die? I don't even know.
You know, as bad as that sounds, I have no idea. I have to look it up on my phone. But I saw him, I saw Muhammad Ali. His grave was pretty nice. And then I hung out with, or I went to another smaller cemetery that was right next to this one. Colonel Sanders, where is he? He had passed in 1980.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was like later than that.
Yeah, he was born on September 9th, 1890, and then he passed on December 16th, 1980.
Wow.
That still blows my mind a little bit that, like, people were born in 1890 and they lived until...
Right?
The like, 80s.
Sometimes I feel like I just can't do math right, so it's just always a shocker.
I'm like, did they have cars then? Like, I just don't know these things. I'm so bad.
I mean, my great-grandmother, now, they didn't have a car, like, way, like, lots of people did have cars, but my great-grandmother and her family, and when I say that, I want to think it's, like, 8 kids or something insane, they were still traveling in covered wagons, like, well into the 20s.
Absolutely insane.
What?
They didn't have any money. So they would, like, travel by wagon from,
like, in the prairie through Texas?
Not, well, yeah, probably. And I don't know. I think that makes sense. Part of my family. My mom's going to listen to this and be, like, mentally correcting every mistake I'm making.
She's going
to
get on Instagram and correct us.
She's going to be like, that's not the right thing.
We're going to have to re-record everything.
Just assume that something about this that I'm saying is not entirely accurate because I am just going off memory.
That is crazy, though. I mean, if you've, yeah, that's crazy.
But, I mean, yeah, you have to think about even when cars became somewhat common, I mean, people still had to get around who didn't have them.
Yeah.
And they had horses, some of them, wagons, whatever.
I did see a horse and buggy, like, I was on the interstate. I think I was going through either Pennsylvania. It was either Pennsylvania or Ohio. Mm. One of them. And as I was driving, like, there was one going across the bridge that I was about to go under and go, no shit.
No shit.
That would be my exact reaction. Like, oh, damn, for real?
I was like, I knew they existed, but I never, like, ran into one before. So I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Okay, Colonel Sanders.
Colonel
That's
Sanders.
That's where we were.
Yes. Yeah. So we went to his grave, and then there's like a cool magician one that I have to do like a little more research on. That was there. I just like this his little statue, little area. But there was like, and Muhammad Ali, he was pretty, his was pretty cool.
Have you guys ever thought about?
Oh, sorry.
Susan. You go first.
Did you do any investigating in the cemetery, or were y'all just kind of exploring?
I was solely exploring. I was just trying to kill time and just, like, get in the right headspace for everything that was about to happen that night. And I just kind of just wanted to get, like, it was so weird. The weather was so nice that weekend. Like, it couldn't have been any better. So when I was walking, I was like, oh, this is great. I don't know. It was just awesome to, like, try to, like, meditate and walk through and just, like, quiet yourself down as you get ready for the night. But in a cemetery, I think, like, maybe around the corner, because we're all kind of, like, close to each other. This wasn't in Cave Hill. This was in another one. Amanda and Charisse, two of the girls that I went with, they actually did an Esta session in the cemetery, and they kept getting a couple, like, odd things. Like, they were trying to see if anything would come through, like, with tips or anything they needed to know for tonight. And they kept getting, like, a bunch of numbers. I think they got something February, and then it just kept telling them to breathe, which I thought was really interesting. But
can
I don't
explain
really
explain what it is that they did.
Okay, so the Esta session, it's like such a cool experiment. Basically, what you do is one person sits and they have noise canceling headphones on, and it's attached to the spirit box, which will go through frequencies. And the whole method behind it is that while this person is immersed in hearing nothing but the radio static and even sitting there with a blindfold on, they're solely becoming like a human spirit box, I guess is the best way to describe it. So what we do is, like, I would sit down and I would have no clue as to what is going on around me. So whatever words that I hear come through, I'm just shouting them out. Sometimes I shout out how they come through, just or what they say. I have a really bad habit of making a face after I say some of things, like, especially if I don't, like, if it's just so left field and I have no idea what's going on. I remember, like, I did it a couple times that way, really. Like, I think I said Earth, and I'm just like, they got, like, I just, like, made, like, the weirdest face, like, as I have this blindfold on, and I was like, I don't know what that means, but, like, so basically, like, one person just asking the questions, another person is listening and seeing if, like, anything comes through to answer them. Sometimes you get a bunch of nonsense that will add up. Other times, like, you can get, like, spot-on answers. I did it at Palmyra. We did a live one on Instagram, and my friend Steve asked what the color was in front of him, and it was, like, this old oil lamp that was, like, a red color. So he said it. I was upstairs in the, like, in the session, and the second that leaves his mouth, I go, oh, it's red. Or, it's, like, I say red, and it was red right in front of him. So, like, you have, like, those, like, creepy little moments that happen, but, yeah. Like, it's, I think it's a great experiment because you kind of, it's not biased, because yeah. One person literally right. has no idea what's happening. But yeah.
I've so seen this before. I didn't realize that's what it was called, or I didn't remember. But yeah. that's always really interesting to me.
Yeah. It was created, or like kind of like founded by Carl and Connor, who are like some of the stars in Hellier, which is a great series on Amazon. They were the resident ghost hunters out at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park. So that's kind of how they got the Estes method. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, I totally encourage it, just because, like, you'll never know what happens. So, like, if you're totally okay with, you know, giving up your senses and just letting your mind go and seeing what you can hear, then go for it.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
When we did Waverly, we actually did an hour-long one, and we did triple. So it wasn't just me. It was me, Amanda, and Charisse all under at the same time.
So wait, I'm sorry. You did that for an hour?
For an hour.
That would feel like 3 hours, I feel like.
It depends, because I was actually the last one pulled out. So all of us went under at the same time. We actually did this up on the 5th floor, which is like the floor of Waverly where the nurse is said to hung herself.
Right.
So we were doing the tour, and we had this plan in mind. It was really weird because Charisse and I, we kind of synced up. And she sent me a message the same night that I had this idea to do a double Estes method, but she wanted to do a triple. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. I'm totally in. So we did it for an hour at Waverly, and it literally felt like only 30 minutes to me.
Wow.
Like, there's sometimes where it could go, like, so much longer where you're like, okay, no, I have to get pulled out.
Yeah.
But like other times you can be like, oh, I was only in there for like 20 minutes. And you're like, no, it was like 2 hours.
That's crazy. That is I feel really like it would feel like longer too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see, like there was like some moments where like, I can just feel myself be like, this feels like it's going on for a long time. And then like something happens to like totally catch that thought off guard. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm back in this.
You went to Waverly next?
Yeah. We did the investigation at Waverly. So we had the building from 7 to 4 a.m. What kind of like turned into like almost 5 a.m. by the time we all got everything ready to go. It was a long night and so many stuff, like so many things had happened that I never expected to like even happen. Like, I know this place is haunted. So like, if nothing were to happen that night, I would have still like walked away completely happy with the fact that like I was there and be like, oh, I was in one of the most haunted places in the world. Nothing happened, blah, blah, blah. But like now that, and like now that like I went there and all this stuff happened, I'm just like, oh, okay, so, like, I really conquered Waverly. Like,
okay, well, tell us. Oh, my God.
So
I've heard a little bit of this, and I cannot wait to hear more.
Oh, my God. So I will say that everything I'm about to say about Waverly, my friend Charisse, she did a YouTube video. So she was with me pretty much the entire night.
Okay.
So, if you guys want to like check it out, you can totally go to her YouTube, and she does like this fantastic story time with some of the EVPs we captured.
Send me the link.
Oh, oh yeah, of course. Have
plug her YouTube or send the link. Oh, or yeah.
Both. Her name is Charisse Williams XO on Instagram. And I believe on TikTok. So on our Instagram and TikTok, like when we first came home, we started like shooting out like little videos of like the Estes method from like the what we captured. So that's where we started the night after like the tour and everything. So when we got done with that, it was like around midnight, and the group of 10 just like kind of like split into two groups all night, which is fine. So we went down to the lobby, and I didn't know where everyone else was. So when we were in the lobby, we actually saw a couple of orbs. I guess they were behind me as I was sitting in the one chair. One actually, like, I saw like a tail end of a flash of light, but Charisse and Fallon both saw a light go to one of the girls. So that was a little spooky, and we kept hearing voices all night. One of the main things that Waverly is known for when it comes to like spiritual activity is this thing called doppelgangers. Have you guys ever heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I've heard of a doppelganger.
Okay. So like, it's the same thing, where someone could be looking at you and then quickly realize that the real you is standing behind you. So
it's not so much like having somebody like a completely separate person who looks like you, like a doppelganger. Mm-hmm. It's more like, I've heard that called something else too.
It's like,
and I can't think of what it is, but it's basically, it's like are they called pretenders?
I think so. The word I always like have thrown around is doppelgangers.
Yeah.
So that's just what I go off of.
But it's like, so, it's not like an actual person. It's just like,
it's just something mimicking
that is impersonating you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's very spooky. While we didn't see any of those, we heard them all night long. And I believe we even captured one on an EVP that is on the video, on the YouTube video. So we went after like the lobby, we went up to the fourth floor, and the fourth floor is known for like all their shadow peoples. It's like known as like, if you want to see something or experience something, you have to go to this hallway. So we went down there, and we went to like the one side that not a lot of people go off to, especially like the TV shows and stuff, because it doesn't have electricity around that side. So I got the idea to like kind of like scatter us down the hallway. So like one person was at the end, and like every couple doorways, another person would like be along the wall. And we shut all the lights off. We shut all the equipment off and just kind of, like, sat in the moment. This awesome couple that was with us, Deanna and Mark. Mark was sitting near me at the end of the hallway. We were, like, the last two of the group by the open end of the hallway. And I was facing the terminal side. So the hallway at Waverly was kind of, like, broken up into two groups. You either had the sun porch side where your beds rolled out onto the porches for your treatment of sunlight and fresh air, or you were on the terminal side and you were just bedridden all day. So I was looking at the terminal side. I felt very uncomfortable, but I think that was just because I was looking into an open room. So I was like,
yeah,
I don't want no part of this. So I, like, scooched myself down a little bit. And I want to say, like, my intuition that night was on point, because I've noticed that anywhere I couldn't take my eyes off of, something would happen. So, like, I couldn't take my eyes off behind Mark. And, like, I was, like, looking past him into the room behind him. And what I saw was the figure of a person looking out the window and just, like, pacing back and forth in the room. And I kept saying something, but no one was, like, no one else saw it. So I was like, all right, whatever. That, like, we kind of, like, stand up and we break for a little bit. The other group comes, I think they were on, like, the first floor. So I think they came up to meet us. And when that happened, people went down the other side of the hallway, and I kind of, like, hung out with Mark and Steve. And the entire time, I was looking down the one little stretch of hallway. On the right-hand side, it just looked like someone kept poking their head out of the door and, like, creeping around the door frame. Like, what are these guys still doing here? Like, what are you doing? And, like, I could see it to one point, and I remember saying, yeah, I can see you. Like, I know you're here. So, and, like, Steve saw it too, but, like, we couldn't, like, really, like, get a gist on what was happening.
Yeah.
And I found it, like, super weird, because every time he walked away from me and I would just be, like, me hanging out in the hallway, it would step out a little more. And I'd be like, oh, it got to the point where, like, it crept around, like, the doorway again. And I was like, oh, no. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And, like, Steve was like, what do you like? And, like, he poked his head out and, like, you could just see it, like, go back into the room. And oh, I was like, I was like, we have to go down there. So we ran down there. We both stood in the room. We looked out the windows. Like, we looked around everything. Like, there was nothing in their room. Like, to even, like, there was no graffiti on the wall to, like, even, like, make that, like, trick on your eyes or anything. So it was just so creepy. So we kind of, like, meet up at the stairway on the fourth floor. And everyone's, like, kind of, like, figuring out their next move. So I think Steve saw in my face that, like, I didn't want to leave, and he was like, oh, I'll hang out with you for a little bit up here. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go. So we literally watched everyone walk down the stairways, and then we turned and started walking down the long hallway towards the operating room. We probably got halfway down, and I shit you not, behind us, all you heard was, hey, it was disembodied. Just like that, I have never snapped my head around as fast as I did.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Like, we looked at each other and we're like, that has to be a person. Like, that has to be a person.
Yeah.
And we gave it a minute. We called out and nothing happened. And we're like, oh, no, like, they're trying to fuck with us. Like, they're going to try to scare us. It's fine. So we were walking down the hallway, and I was like, if you're up here, you have to tell us. Like, you have to. We're not going to be mad. And, like, it was just nothing. The entire hallway was silent. And of course, his recorder stopped working, like, right before that happened. But it was just one of, like, the craziest moments. Because I had, like, a week before I went on this trip, and, like, throughout the weekend, whenever I could remember up to this moment, I had this, like, little mantra that I kept saying to myself. anytime I can remember, like, I'm ready for the disembodied voices, I'm ready for the shadow figures, I'm ready for everything that Waverly Hills has to offer. And I got, like, 4 of those things.
That's amazing.
You manifested that shit.
Right? So, like, that, I feel like that whole moment just kickstarted this weird night to come. And this was at, like, 1 in the morning. So it was just us on the floor for a little bit, and we kept seeing a couple shadows, and we heard a few things, but, like, nothing else came from it. So he went back down, and the 3 girls that I hung out with for most of the night, they came back up, and we, like, investigated the operating room, and we had a couple EVPs come out of that. I think we were saying something about a doctor or nurse, and I think in the background it says, "I am the doctor." Like, it's a male voice, and you can kind of hear it. It's, like, 4, like, dun, 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 like, 4 little syllables or whatever you want to call them. But, yeah, nothing major really happened until we got to the body shoot, which was very, very interesting.
Oh, man.
I'm excited, Caroline, to hear about this.
Oh, my God. Because
she hasn't, I heard that on your Instagram live, but she hasn't, I don't think she's heard it.
I haven't.
I have the recording on me, just in case.
Are you going to play it?
I kind of, if you guys want me to.
Yes.
I will give a warning out before I play it, because there are screams involved, and they are very loud. They are my favorite part of the recording, actually.
Are they your screams?
They're all of ours.
Okay.
So before I go into this whole death shoot thing, I just want to say that it wasn't a tunnel out of, like, maliciousness. When they were creating Waverly, this was the tunnel that, like, helped bring up all their gear to, like, construct it from up the hill. And then since patient morale was such a huge portion, like, such a huge part of Waverly, they decided to use the body chute that it became to lower the caskets and the bodies down the hill so the hearses could get to them faster. And so no one on the Solarium would have to see the parade of hearses that came, because once you drive up the driveway, the first thing you see are the porches. Like, you see the back portion of the building. So we went down there. Like, right in the beginning, like, that's where the tour started, and we were kind of sitting there, we're like, oh, I don't know if we're really going to come down here, because it's just so far out of the way, and the whole night went by super fast, like, in a blink of an eye, it was already, like, 3:30 in the morning, and so we're like, are you kidding me? So when we went down there, it was around almost 3 in the morning. It was just myself, Amanda, Charisse, and Fallon. I think we were down there for maybe about 5-10 minutes. And what this, I'm going to do my best to describe it. This tunnel, it's off a hallway, and there's a big iron gate. So you push the iron gate and you walk through. And then that's what starts the tunnel. And you probably get maybe 30 feet in, I want to say. I don't know, I'm bad at math or distances, but it's like a flat thing, and then it starts to pitch at a 45 degree angle, and so one side of it is straight up concrete, like a concrete slab, and next to it are 2 stairs and a platform, all the way down 450 feet. So we, whoa.
Like, imagine super long stairs, and then, like, a longer stair is what it looks like.
Yeah. It's, if you want to go on my Instagram, like, there's actual visuals of everything that I'm describing. So we were on it, and we had our backs up against the wall. So we were on the step portion of it. It was Amanda at the far end. So she was looking at the huge, long tunnel. And then it was Charisse, Fallon, and myself. So I was at the very top of the tunnel, and I was looking at the little hallway that comes before it slants, the door that leads into the hallway, mm-hmm. That goes into the hospital. And I couldn't take my eyes off of it. No matter what we were doing, I couldn't stop looking. And I just had this terrible feeling that something was either going to poke his head out or chase us down the tunnel, which would have been okay, but that's a long hike up, and it's the only way out. So
say, you have to eventually come back.
Yeah, but I'm not coming back alone. So I was the first person, like, right at the steps, and I didn't want to say I was scared, but I was definitely scared because I knew all about this tunnel, and I knew that it was, like, one of the most active portions. So we're all setting up. We're trying to figure out this motion light that we had, and it wasn't really working. So Amanda asked if anyone wanted her REM pod out. We're like, oh, yeah, we can get it out. As we were doing that, we were going to record on the digital recorders. So I had mine out. I turned it on, put it on the floor in front of us, and there's, like, some talking, and then someone said they thought they heard something down the tunnel, like footsteps or shuffling. So we all went quiet. There's, like, 10 seconds of just pure silence in this recording, and then all of a sudden, there's ginormous bang, and it just scares the absolute shit out of everyone. We jumped up. I instantly, like, snapped. I, like, froze where I was, and I think the only thing to come out of my mouth was, I have it on audio! Amanda, like, in that moment, it was so chaotic, and I was just so frozen because I was like, one, I never expected that to ever happen. I thought it was the metal gate, but I was looking at it pretty much the entire time, and there's a tarp over it, so it wouldn't have made that insane sound. Amanda ran towards it. We were all looking at her like, what are you doing?
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, well, we have to know what happens. And the funny thing is that she was recording before this happened. Someone had a digital recorder on, but then shut it off, which you can hear them say in the recording that I have, that, oh, they're going to shut the recorder off. I just left mine on the floor. Yeah. And the 1 minute mark, like a couple seconds over the 1 minute mark, that's when the door slammed. And that's the only, like, EVP I've captured that entire night. Like, that was, like,
hey, one, well, of, let's hear it.
I know, I'm keeping you in such suspense.
You are.
Okay.
So I'm glad you kept it on.
Oh, yeah. I thought that I left it on after, like, when me and Amanda ran to go see what it was. I thought I left it on. But I guess at some point, like, after I screamed that I had it on audio, I shut it off, but I don't even remember it. I was, like, just in so, like, it was in so much excitement and just pure shock that I was like, oh, okay, we gotta go. All right, so this is it. Can you hear it?
I love your reaction. I got the audio.
Like, I don't, like, in that moment, like, even hearing it now, I still get chills all over my body because not only did our, that reaction was completely genuine. We were totally having our attention at the bottom of the tunnel. Everyone, like, even I was facing that way. I never expected to hear that. So when that happened, I was like, oh my God, like, are you kidding me? So when me and Amanda ran out to go see what it was, my second guess was the door leading from the hospital into the hallway that leads here. But there was a sandbag right there, like in between the doors, so the door wouldn't shut. Mm-hmm. So we tested that, and Amanda has the video of me and her running around chaotically trying to figure out what door it was, which I cannot wait to hear whenever it comes, or see whenever it comes out. But I actually looked, and there was an emergency exit door that looked just like a plain door. So I opened it. The motion light was already on outside that I didn't even realize because I was just too in the moment. And I slammed it back. And we were like, that's it. And, like, you can hear from the tunnel, Charisse and Fallon go, oh, my God, did it happen again? And we're like, no, but that was the sound.
Oh, my God. So the motion sensor light was on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. Amanda actually pointed it out afterwards when we were coming back from the tunnel. And at this point, we had no idea where anyone was. We kind of figured that maybe it was someone from the group playing a prank on us, mm-hmm. but come to realize that they were up on the third floor on the opposite side of the hallway, like on the opposite side of the entire building.
Yeah.
We tried radioing them. They never even heard the door slam. They never heard a scream, and their radio was off the entire time.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's great audio.
I just can't believe that, like, it was the first time all night that I pulled it out, and not even a minute into it being recording, there it is.
Yeah.
Like, it was just pure, I feel like it was just pure luck that it happened. But then that was also what started 45 minutes of just pure chaos. So,
I loved your- okay.
This is, like, where it gets kind of creepy, but also really funny. So we were walking out from the tunnel, and we were, like, we were joking, and we were laughing, probably because we were a little scared, and we just were on such an adrenaline rush. The whole first floor of Waverly, they turn into a haunted house when it's October. So the walls are painted black, there's, like, scary faces on them, and, like, you can see, like, the dividers to make the maze. Mm-hmm. So we all were joking. I actually got on the radio and I was like, guys, where are you? And nothing came through. And I jokingly whispered, I was like, you can't ignore us. And as that happened, we were walking past the morgue towards the lobby. We were joking around. The door kind of, I don't know if it was us or it was something, but the door that you walk through, it was delayed on closing. So, like, it makes, like, a really creepy sound when it closes. Mm-hmm. That was delayed, and it scared the shit out of me when it closed because I wasn't expecting it. So I learned that I could Scooby-Doo run that night.
Oh, God.
I'm talking, like, feet up in the air. So we were totally joking about that and laughing, and we walked towards the lobby. And as we got in the lobby, we heard giggling behind us. And what sounded like metal scraping the floor, my mind instantly went to the body trays from the morgue being pulled out because it had that metallic sound. So we got up, we were trying to find them, and last we knew they were going up on, like, the third floor. So we were like, oh, we'll just go up on the third floor. We got into the stairway, and you could just hear the giggling and the metal again. And then not only that, you could hear everyone else's voices. So we were screaming up the stairway, like, hey, guys, like, where are you? And, like, it would be nothing. And we're like, guys, where are you? And it'd be nothing. 5 minutes later, one of them comes running down and was like, what did you guys want? Like, what do you guys want? Like, we thought we heard you yelling. Come to find, like, we were just hearing their doppelganger voices all night. Like, I know that sounds so weird, but it was to the point where we could, like, even, like, during, like, the Estes method, like, when this, like, first started at the night, Charisse and all of them, they thought they would hear, like, Hannah and, like, all these other people we had in the stairwell or, like, in the floor below us. But then you, like, poke your head out and see what was going on, and then it would die. Like, there would be nothing again. Or, like, you'd wait for them to come up, and nothing would happen. So we kept hearing them, and it was just the weirdest thing. But, yeah. And we did the Waverly Challenge.
What is that?
Well, we did our version of it. But the Waverly Challenge is when you go alone without a flashlight, floor by floor, up to the fifth floor, and you're supposed to do, like, the post-it note. Mm-hmm. We did it at the end of the night. So it was just me, Amanda, and Charisse, and we kind of just walked the entire thing with our arms linked. I was shoved in the middle because I was a runner, and I already ran.
You have been designated. You've been deemed a runner. You are now in the middle.
Yeah, right? Like, I had no choice in the matter. So I was, like, at the end of the night, I was kind of, like, ready to, like, go through, like, at one point, if no one was going to do it, I was going to do it just to say that someone did it. Even if it was alone and I'd be shitting my pants the entire way, I would have done it. But when we met up with everyone after we went up to find them and we couldn't find them anywhere, we ended up finding them on the second floor by, like, the cafeteria area. And they had, like, the laser grid out and whatever. And so we were talking about doing it, but I guess a couple people heard a noise. So they got up and just left. And I guess they started their little Waverly challenge without telling anyone. So they walked all the way up to the fifth floor. So they had no idea that we started, or we were going to start. So when we started on the first floor. Mm-hmm. I guess when they were up on the fifth floor, they saw a shadow light beam. Or a flashlight beam come up the stairs, and they heard our voices, and they were like, oh, they're starting the Waverly Challenge. We were nowhere to be found. They waited for us. They waited to see if they were coming. Our voices stopped. There was no flashlight anymore. They, like, swear on their grave that they heard our voices, which I believe, because my voice is pretty distinct. Like, you can tell it's me talking. So to hear something, like, mimic my voice is terrifying, especially, like, me not being around.
That's the other thing they're called, mimics.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
Like, I want to say it's, like, the word doppelganger is a German word, but, like, it's just, I don't know what brings it about. It's just something weird. And they have a creeper there, too, which I probably saw that was probably lurking in the shadows. it's like their shadow person that they call a creeper.
Wow.
I don't have too much information on him, but I guess he's not great. He's not great at all.
it wouldn't have been that guy that was poking his head out.
I looking back on it now, I probably was him. And what's really weird is that on the opposite side of the hallway, speaking of shadow figures, me and Charisse saw one walking towards us. And there's this tale of a homeless man who hung out in the building and, like, tried to shoo away all the trespassers and stuff. And he just needed a place to stay in passing. And our security guard, or not our security guard, our tour guide, he actually knew of the homeless man who was named William, and he, like, William even kicked him out a few times. Mm-hmm. So, sadly, these three teenagers came in one night.
I can't.
Yeah, and they brutally murdered him. and they threw his body down the elevator shaft. So I won't say the other part of the story because it's very, very sad. Yeah. But karma actually got them because I guess the three kids that all did it, they died at the same, they didn't live past the same age that William did, and they all died by blunt force trauma. So karma is a major bitch, and she got that good. So what we believe, and one of the girls actually caught the shadow figure that I believe that Charisse put in the YouTube video, is of a man. And we showed it to Ernie, our tour guide, and he was like, oh yeah, that's William. Like, that's what William's silhouette would have looked like. So I'm pretty sure we saw William walking towards us, probably trying to kick our asses out.
Probably.
Stopping the rowdy screaming.
It's really devastating that that happened, but also, like, kind of happy for him because he gets to just, like, shoo people away for the rest of his, you know, existence. Yeah. Wow. That's sad.
Yeah. What were we talking? Oh, the fifth floor. So, what? We're jumping around? So, we did the on the topic of doppelganger voices, so we were doing the Waverly Challenge, and after they heard our voices, they radioed us to ask where we were, and they were like, or we said we were just starting out by the morgue, like, we weren't even by the stairway yet, and they were like, oh, that's weird. They didn't tell us anything about what happened. So we knew that in passing, we were going to meet. So we met up on the third floor. And the third floor just had, like, really sketchy energy for some reason, like, in that moment. Mm-hmm. So we were all still linked armed. We had a flashlight on because we were failing at this challenge.
You did it. You didn't fail.
That's true. We did it in our own little way. Yeah. We stopped and we tried to, like, let our eyes get adjusted to the surroundings and the darkness. And me and Charisse thought we saw someone. So we kind of, like, stopped, and we called out, and So we call out, and we realize that it's just the other group meeting with us. So we walk a little closer, and me and her both hear a disembodied voice of a person go, it's me, or it was me, but all I heard was me. So I was like, who the fuck is up here? I'm trying to think. Yeah. So the whole EVP that she captured, because she had her recorder on as we were doing the walkthrough, which I had no idea was on, it starts out really weird because me and her are in such sync that for the first two sentences that we're talking, we're literally saying it at the same time. Like, I thought that was the weirdest thing to me when that I first heard weird. It. Because it was like, it's just like, it was the same, like, I think we both go, are you guys down there? And then we go, oh, okay, like the same, like, pitch, and it was just so weird. So we walked down this hallway to go meet up with Dylan, Steve, and Hannah, who were the three who did the challenge from the other group. And we hear this female voice, so we're like, oh, it was just Hannah. And the boys quickly go, no, it wasn't. She didn't say a word. We got the entire thing on the digital recorder, so you can hear the entire process happening of us stopping, me and her calling out at the same time, and then just kind of figuring out that it's just Hannah when it really wasn't. You can hear the it was me, and then you hear us go, is there a female with you? Like, you heard that, right? And then you can hear the boys go, oh no, it wasn't her, but it sounded just like Hannah. Like, as soon as the EVP came to me, I was like, oh, that's Hannah. That's nothing. But it wasn't, because she didn't say anything. Like, even she swears to this day that she did not say a word. So I think we caught a doppelganger voice.
I think you did, too.
Yeah.
It was like, one of the spookiest things to, and, like, it's one of my favorite of the night besides the one that I captured, because you just hear our entire thought process, and you hear, like, us be like, no, that had to be someone. And they're like, no, it wasn't. But then you capture the actual voice saying, it was me. Or the me. it was just so weird.
That is really weird.
It really is. The voices are weird anyway, but like then add to it that it sounds like somebody you know, mm-hmm. but it isn't. That's just like extra creepy to me.
Especially since she was like, we were so quick to write it off. Like, if it was her, then it was her. Like, it is what it is. But like the fact that they can both say that she didn't say a word instantly as mm-hmm. we bring it up, I think that just adds to more validation of it. Yeah. It's just so creepy.
After okay. you went to Waverly, where did you go next?
I slept for probably about 2 hours before mm-hmm. making the trip home. And my very first trip out of Kentucky was the one and only Bobby Mackey's.
This is what I want to hear about. We just sat for an hour, and don't get me wrong, all the other stories were amazing, but I'm like, Bobby Mackey's.
I want to just go ahead and say I'm weirdly skeptical about Bobby Mackey's, and I can't even explain why. I just have this, like...
Which I completely understand, because going into this, I mean, like, I will say that if you ask me... like 3 years ago, if I would ever step foot in this place, I'd be like, oh no, you could not pay me enough. You could not even pay me enough to go to Kentucky. Like, this place was so far off my radar, but like, now that I had the chance to be in Kentucky, it was kind of like, when are you ever going to be back here again? Yeah. Just do it. So I'm like, right? Okay, that's a bad idea, but let's do it.
And you were by yourself.
I was by myself, yes. So it was myself and the amazing ghost guide that they have there, Laura. So she gave me the tour. So I drove up probably about like 5 minutes before her. So I was outside taking my little Polaroids, taking in the whole place, and she pulls up. And when you walk in, it's just, I will say, it is just a dive bar. You can tell that it's a dive bar, and it's a great one at that.
I love a good dive bar.
Yeah. So do I, especially a honky tonk one. Like, I feel there's a mechanical bull in there.
Oh my God.
As a Texan, a honky tonk dive bar is just my favorite thing.
Right? So when you walk in, like, the front entrance is like, okay. Like, there's the warning that the establishment is presumed to be haunted, so they hold no liability for whatever may happen to you there. So I was like, okay, so we walk in, and as soon as you walk the threshold from the hallway into the thing, I kind of just stood there for a second. I don't know if it was the pure shock I was in that I was actually in this location, like the excitement towards it, and just being so tired and like on adrenaline high, that I feel like I didn't get the entire Bobby Mackey experience, but it, I will say, you could sense the energy in there, and it is not, it's not welcoming. It's very uneasy. The entire time we were in the bar area, I had my guard up the entire time. It was very spooky. And of course she was like, Laura was such a sweetheart. She was like, do you want to investigate while you're here? Like, do you have your gear? And I was like, it's in my trunk, and it's not coming out. like, no offense. Like, I would truly love to investigate Bobby Mackey's. But if anything was really that evil there, I don't know if I wanted to, like, really talk to it and be like, hey, let's strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, someone even said that, like, they mentioned Zach Bagans' name and they got scratched there. So, like, I even made the mental note to myself. Like, I, a full-grown woman, spoke into her phone saying, hey, Siri, remind me not to say Zach Bagans' name as I go into Bobby Mackey's. Like, that was the first thing to pop it on my phone as soon as I got there.
Though, like, he could annoy the least evil of spirits.
Yeah.
That is very true.
You know, I mean, they weren't evil, but then Zach was a pain in the ass, and now You get what you get.
That is so true. So she was like, I like to do all my tours with the lights off. That's fine. And I was like, yeah, that's okay. So like internally, I was like, fuck. Like
swallowed a gumball. No big deal.
Yeah. Like everything's fine. It's great. Like I was literally that meme of the guy holding the cup of coffee. So she told me the history, which was like super cool. She debunked some of the things that got thrown around, like the story of Pearl Bryant and how the only relation to Bobby Mackey's that entire story has is the fact that they got kicked out of the stagecoach right in front of the speakeasy that it was back in the day. So Pearl Bryant's head was never thrown into the well. There was no signs of them ever being there besides just getting kicked out of the stagecoach. So like that whole entire story is kind of like what everyone believes this place to be, such a portal to hell, because this poor woman, she became pregnant after a secret love affair with a guy going to dental school. I know that sounds so terrible, but so they tried to drug her and that didn't work. So they took matters into her own hands and they threw her in a stagecoach and his friend came to help her or came to help him. And she was just moaning and groaning. So the stagecoach guy wanted no part of it, kicked her out. And about 4 miles away from Bobby Mackey's at Fort Thomas, I believe, they did the deed. They chopped her head off. And many believe that her head was thrown into the well of what used to be a slaughterhouse property, turned speakeasy back in the day. And I hate to break to you, but like none of that's real.
Mm-hmm. And see, wow. That kind of stuff is why I've always kind of had this side eye for them. But the fact that they debunk it kind of makes me...
Yeah, mm-hmm. They found out more. I feel like the more the story is talked about, like, her head was never found. Like, her body was at Fort Thomas, and the only way they could know who it was by her shoe, like, the special shoes that she wore. So, like, they never found her head. So, could they have dumped it in the well? Sure. But there's a good chance that, like, everyone believes they took it back to their dental school and burned it in like the incinerator or whatever they had there. But I mean, it's unsolved. Like they never truly found her head and no one really knows like what happened because those two took it to their grave. So, I mean, it's a possibility, but it's highly unlikely. It is a very good story and a very great song by Bobby Mackey. He wrote a whole song on the legend and how his bar is haunted to this day by them. I thought it was very...
I think maybe that's the other reason that I kind of side-eye the whole thing is because he leaned into it so hard. And it's like... Yeah. But it's like, how much of it's like... How much of that just becomes... Like, it sort of takes on a life of its own, I guess.
Yeah. And then that also goes into the Carl stuff because I didn't know... I learned something new about the whole Carl situation. So
tell us who, yeah. Carl is.
So Carl Lawson was the old caretaker for Bobby Mackey's. He was there for the bar prior. I believe they called it the Bloody Bucket. It was just a nickname that got thrown around. So when that closed and Bobby was looking into wanting the property, he called Bobby and was like, hey, I'll help you get it up and running. I already know what's going on with the building. I worked here prior. And Bobby was like, yeah, sure. Let's go for it. So he kind of helped make Bobby Mackey's what it is. Like, he took care of the property. He had a whole workshop down in the basement. He even lived upstairs in the apartment, like this little studio apartment that they had up there. But because of that, he also knew the darker side to this place. Mm-hmm. So he would know, like, he knew that there were spirits in there and that the place was something special. In the terms of the paranormal, he, at night when he would sleep upstairs, he would hear what sounded like hundreds of people downstairs below in an empty bar that he knew was empty because he shut it down. It scared him to the point where he barricaded his door with just with anything. And then he slept with a shotgun in his own bed. He said that demons, the quote-unquote demons, tried to drown him in his bathroom that was up there. And in his dreams, the vision or the spirit of the woman Johanna would come to him and tell him to dig in the basement. And this would lead him to find the well that many believe is the portal to hell. So it is a very, like, Carl's story is very messed up, and it's one that's super intriguing because there's so many layers to it. It actually got to him so much that he had an exorcism done to him in the kitchen of Bobby Mackey's, which is below his apartment. Mm-hmm. But also, come to find out, I didn't know this, he actually had one done on TV before by Geraldo Rivera. I guess this is on YouTube. So when Bobby Mackey's like first happened, like was first coming out, Carl tried telling Bobby about these, about the ghosts and everything, and Bobby quickly shut it down. He wanted no part of it. He absolutely wanted no one to know that it was haunted. And then come, like, a couple years later, like, not a couple years, but, like, in the 80s sometime, someone actually wrote a book about, like, the spirits or, like, the strange happenings of Bobby Mackey's music world, and that caught the attention of everyone. So I guess they went on Geraldo Rivera, and it was one of those, like, gags where it's like, oh, well, we just so happen to have a priest in the audience. Mm-hmm. Why not get exorcised on TV?
Love 80s so, Geraldo.
Yeah, I mean, he was exposing everything, even everyone's demons. So I guess that happened. I haven't watched that one because I have the vivid memory of the exorcism that Ghost Adventures has played. And that is in, the whole thing is actually in three parts on YouTube. So if you have the need or want to watch this afterwards, I encourage you to do it. But just know that it's a little frightening. So when we went, like, we went up to Carl's apartment, and it's destroyed. Like, I don't know, like, what happened to it, like, if that was, like, it when Carl was there, but, like, yeah, his bed is gone, and it just kind of, like, turned into, like, storage, and they just leave it there for him. Like, there's a whole little table, and people, like, leave cigarettes or, like, little booze shooters for him and stuff when they go to visit. And the entire time I was in that room, the only thing I could think about was his exorcism video. And there's this one line that was played on, like, Ghost Adventures and stuff, where he's sitting at the table, and he's screaming, "This body is mine, this body is mine," and that's the only thing that I had in my mind the entire time I was in his apartment, which I don't know how to take, because I tried so hard to separate myself from what I already knew about this place, and, like, try to, like, just come in with, like, a completely blank slate. Like, I'm so open to what Laura was going to tell me. I'm open to what I would possibly experience there. But I just want to do it on like, a term where I know nothing about it. So I try to separate myself as much as possible. But, like, that was, like, the one thing that could not leave my head. And I don't know if it was the sunlight or anything, but that was, like, the only place I felt, like, relatively not, like, uneasy in. It was weird. Like, I don't know if it was Carl or not, but, like, if he was hanging out with us, but we had the spirit box out before we went into his apartment, and we were talking about one of the deaths that actually did occur there, and we mentioned something about Carl and about how the end of his bar used to be his favorite seat and how he used to love this place. And the spirit box on the new one, there's a temperature gauge on it. And that just kept going off. Anytime we mentioned Carl, it would just go off. But then it would just keep beeping. So then we just turned it off because we didn't know what was actually going on with it. So it could have been Carl just coming out and hanging out with us. But who knows? But, like, yeah, that was, like, really the only place that I felt like, oh, okay, I can, like, breathe a little bit and not have to look over my shoulder left and right.
Yeah.
Did he die in the building? I don't remember.
No, I don't believe he died there. But he did die of cirrhosis of the liver. So technically he was battling his own demons on top of the ones that were supposedly at Bobby Mackey's.
The man lived in a bar. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. No, like, ill will to
Carl.
Yeah, like, no ill will to Carl and his story. Like, I'm sure that what he experienced there actually happened, because that place does give you the heebie-jeebies. Like even, like, sitting here now, like, looking back on it, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, like, that place was, it's enough crazy to, like,
because you're, like, sitting here talking about it, and I, like, I feel like I have, like,
yeah,
I keep looking behind me.
Right? I know, I've noticed that, like, I don't know, like, whenever I talk about Bobby Mackey's, I just get this, like, weird pit in my stomach, like, like, it, I didn't experience anything paranormal there. Like, I saw a few shadows out of my eyes, but, like, you can easily explain those away. Like, all I had were just uneasy feelings to go off of. So, like, I'd love to go back there and, like, maybe investigate, or, like, maybe, like, dip my toes in a little more.
Yeah.
But I would never go there alone. Like, you can never pay me to, like, hang out in the bar alone. And not to mention, I went on a Tuesday morning. So, this place,
I just want to say, if anybody out there has a lot of money that they want to throw at somebody to stay in the bar alone, I am down. I can pay me to do that.
If someone has, like, maybe, like, $100,000 just laying around, I'll think about it. But
I'd probably do it for, like, $10,000 and, like, you pay for the trip.
Oh, okay. That's
kind of cheap, frankly.
It is. But there has to be guidelines. Like, we need a whole rules board written out.
Look, contracts will have to be drawn up. Money will have to be put in escrow. Like, not playing around.
I need to see a check before I go in that door.
But at the same time, like, for 10 grand and somebody pays for the trip, yeah, I would totally do that. And I would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, go ahead.
How did you feel when you went down to the well? Did you get to go down to the well?
Oh, yeah. So the well was, like, one of the last things we did. So we started out in the bar, then we went up to Carl's apartment, and then we went downstairs to the well. So you have to go outside of the bar and go around back to it. As soon
No.
You open.
We're going to have to do this over.
That's a weird thing for to get frozen.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Like, as soon as you started talking about going to the well, you started freezing. That is a little odd.
Really, you froze a little bit when you first started talking about Bobby Mackey's, but it was like it skipped a little bit.
Cool. Cool. How fun is this?
Okay, start over.
Okay, like, I'm not normally like, oh my God, that means something, but that really is a little strange that the second you start talking about it, you completely froze.
Yeah.
Let's see if it happens again. Because if it happens again, then I'm out. I'm out. I gotta stage my room. We got things to do.
I don't even have any stage. Okay.
Okay, so you had to go out. We could hear that you had to go outside to go down.
So as soon as she opened the door, I instantly regretted everything. It was just so dark, and it was what you would expect a bar basement to be, honestly. But on the one hand side, it was Carl's little workshop. I was just about to go in there and, like, poke my head in there, and she's like, oh, that's where dark shadows hang around. I go, nope, never mind. And then, so we talked about that, and then we kind of, like, turned the one corner, and we walked into the well room, and honestly, I don't want to sound mean, but it's, like, a little underwhelming, because, like, you expect to, like, see a huge well. Mm-hmm. At least, like, in my mind, I thought, like, it would be more than it was, so maybe my imagination just built it up, but,
you were thinking, like, pits of hell.
Yeah, like
that kind of thing. Like,
in your head, when you think portal to hell, you think that there's going to be some drama.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, like, when we got in there, and I was like, oh, this is, like, the infamous well. And, like, I took my pictures, I took my videos, and then she just decided to go lights off, and there I am with my phone. I'm like, I'm just going to pretend I'm taking video because I do not want my flashlight off. I don't want my flashlight off at all. So I was just like, yeah. And then, like, I try to, like, put my phone, like, in my pocket to, like, put the flashlight off a little bit, but, like, not really. And she was like, yeah, she was, like, telling me about it and about how, you know, that sometimes the quietest people are the ones to get something to happen to them, not, like, the loud, boisterous ones like you'd expect. So she was talking about that and talking about how there is a guy down there that she calls the shuffler, because you can hear him shuffle on the concrete, I guess. So she was like, let's be real quiet and see if we can hear it. And I wanted to be like, let's not.
Let's sing a song.
So, like, I know I sound like such a big, like, pussy when I'm saying this, but, like, you have to think that I was alone. And, like, after hearing all this shit about, like, how this is the portal to hell and, like, how no matter what you do when you step in foot in this establishment, you're going to take something home or something's going to curse you. So I was just trying to be like, I have a 9-hour ride home. I can't take anything home with me.
I have shit to do.
Like, I got another stop after this, and then I got 5 hours after that. Like, I can't bring anything home. So, like, I was just trying to be, like, as quiet and just, like, take it all in. I believe she said she saw something, like, she turned her flashlight on real quick, and she's like, I thought I saw someone, like, walk past, and I was gonna be like, no, I'm not doing this, not here, not now. It was fun at Waverly, but not here. It was just the two of us, too. Like, if it was a big group of people, like, that we had at Waverly, or, like, if another person I knew came with me, that would be, like, a different story. Because, there's more security in numbers.
Baden, you don't know. I mean, part of the uneasiness has to come from the fact that she knows her way around, and you don't know for sure that she's not just going to put you in a situation to fuck with you. I'm not saying that that's what she would do. I'm just, you know, like.
Oh, no, 100%.
Like, the instinct part of you is like, I don't know this person.
The well room was very uncomfortable. And then after that, we walked down on the other side of the basement, and that was where the supposed pentagrams were on the floor. I think I posted one in my story of, like, I took a picture of my feet on the floor, and you can kind of, like, see, like, the remnants of one on the floor that I believe was there. Also in that room, like, they say that there's child spirits there, but I do not believe that 100%. If it is, it's something messing with you. And there are also, like, these weird I don't want to call them shapeshifters, but, you know, like, the ink block test that you get? So they kind of, like, have this phenomenon happening on their walls in that room. So maybe I'll post pictures about this, but they say, like, if you look at one spot on the wall, the way the paint chipped, or the way the paint is, it's supposed to look like Johanna, which was the daughter of a mob boss who ended up, she was a dancer at the club when it was a, like, speakeasy type of thing. And she ended up having a love affair with someone her father didn't approve of, or either a coworker of her father's. And apparently her father or someone close to her had her lover killed. So in turn, she poisoned her father and then ended up taking her life, which is also another Bobby Mackey ultimate hit.
I have heard that one.
I mean, when I was doing like this all research with him, I was listening to all his songs and they're great. Like, especially the ones around the legend, like as much as he says he doesn't want to haunt a location, he seemed to really embrace it.
Yeah.
Which is like, all right. Like, it's about time he came around and like realized what your building was. But yeah.
The chipped paint sounds like pareidolia to me though.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at it. I couldn't see what she meant about it before. And then like looking back on my pictures, I was like, oh, I can kind of see where they get that. But it's like, it is like, nah, all right.
Yeah.
Like, I'll let you have that one. But like, you believe what you believe. Yeah, and then after that, they actually had dressing rooms down there from the dancers. They had three of them. So, like, it's literally, like, you step up, and there's a wall of, like, there's a wall of a mirror, and then, like, a little counter where they would do their makeup and stuff, and then there's a bunch of chairs in there. We sat in the one that was supposedly Johanna's dressing room, and, like, there were flowers in there. It was actually really peaceful. It was the only room in Bobby Mackey's that I didn't feel like I wanted to crawl out of my skin. Like, we could sit in there, and I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, it's not terrible. But then after that, we kind of, like, walked upstairs. She let me take, like, pictures of the dance floor and stuff of it, like, all lit up. But, yeah, other than that, like, I don't want to say, like, Bobby Mackey's was, like, a letdown because it really wasn't.
I feel like if you were to take the time to investigate it, it would be different.
Yeah.
But for just going and like walking around, I think it was pretty good.
Oh yeah. Like I said, like if you would have asked me 3 years ago if I would ever walk in this place, I'd be like, no. I want nothing to do with it. I'll just watch it on TV. So like now like it's pretty cool to be like, oh yeah, I went to Bobby Mackey's. What about it?
I've seen the portal to hell. Didn't see any hell.
No demons came up and grabbed me, but all right. I probably used that line from Ghost Adventures like at least 7 times when like referring to Bobby Mackey is the whole, this is the portal to hell. Why don't you come on that ground and get us? Like that's all I kept saying the entire time.
I need to watch that episode.
It's the very first episode of the series. It's a great episode. It's something else.
A tiny t-shirt.
it was the prime. It is something that I will cherish for my lifetime. And any location they go to, which I slowly am realizing that I'm kind of going to all these locations that they're going to. So I was like, I'm coming for you, Zach Bagans. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that episode, watch it. It's excellent. I mean, I make fun of Ghost Adventures a lot just because, like, that's my enjoyment of that show is, like, just watching them and mocking them.
Like, I hate that it has come to us mocking them, but honestly, this is what happens when you're on the air for 27 seasons and you let a man with no fashion sense and just a huge ego run the entire thing.
Unchecked. Just wildly unchecked in the size of his t-shirts.
And I feel like he just thinks he's probably, like, so hot.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He 100% thinks that.
And the only person that has tried to check him is, like, Nick Roth. And anything that Nick Roth does, Zach Bagans puts a complete end to it. If you noticed...
Which pisses me off because I love him and I think he does really good work.
Yes. Oh yes. So I will always fight for Nick Roth until the end of time because he was done dirty. If you noticed, he had a show called Paranormal Lockdown, which was I thought it was perfect. They would stay in these locations for 3 days at a time. So they would, like, really immerse themselves in these locations. They'd sleep, they'd eat, they'd wake up, do everything for 3 days. And it was on this channel called Destination America, which is kind of like a sister channel to Travel Channel.
Yep.
And I want to say, like, a couple years ago, it made its way on Travel Channel or something like that.
I think it did.
Yeah, either. Yeah, I think it did. And it aired for a couple episodes, like maybe even like half a season. And next thing you knew, it was off the air, all because of Zach. And now he's on Discovery Plus with his new series called like Deathwalker or something, but only in the UK.
Shut up. Yeah. I didn't know it was only in the UK.
Only in the UK. Oh. And I guess, I think like the first episode is on his YouTube, but yeah.
I just saw something about that the other day. That was going to be the reason that I got Discovery Plus.
Yeah, you should still get it.
Oh yeah. I had it on before this, and it's like all I do. All I do is just go to the paranormal section and just put whatever on.
I just finished the Bigfoot Expedition, but now I'm watching the Skinwalker Ranch, and it's pretty good.
I actually just started that one on Hulu yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, let's learn about skinwalkers today.
it's pretty good. Some of the shit, there, it's just funny because, like, the lead scientist guy, he is from Huntsville, Alabama, and he just sounds so, like, he's just so much Alabama, but he's talking about, like, fucking, like, he's a rocket scientist.
I can't resist this opportunity to mildly trash talk an Alabaman rocket scientist.
It's my dream.
Like, really? Are you sure?
It's a good show, though. You should watch it. It's good.
That is one that I want to see. And now I want to watch the Bigfoot Expedition. But I was so excited to see Nick Groff because I think everything he does is so good. And I loved Paranormal Lockdown as much for him, but I think Katrina Weidman is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you look, Portals to Hell is, like, pretty much the same concept, just they don't sleep overnight.
Yeah.
And it's just they switched out Nick Groff for Jack Osborne, because he's a ghost of hunter. Which I
have patience for.
I thought about watching that, but, like, then I saw it was Jack Osborne, I was like...
I don't get it, but I'll put it on.
Katrina and Nick have such a good rapport with each other and, like, such an obvious friendship that
it just worked. And then you bring in, like, Jack Osborne, who, I'm sorry, like, maybe he is involved in the paranormal before this whole little thing he got going on, but yeah, I mean, it's just weird to stick a celebrity person as who he is.
And like I said, to me, that their Nick and Katrina's, like, their friendship is one of the things that made that show so good, just because they react differently, because, like, especially if something's going on, their first concern is, like, investigating it, and their second concern is the other one. And it's just a different perspective than when you have people working together that are just working together and not really good friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually had the Waverly episode on before this, as I was typing up notes for this. And I was like, oh, I'll just throw these two on.
So, where are you going next? What's your next plan?
So, my next plan is literally this Friday, I'm going to the Haunted Shanley Hotel out in the, like, around the Catskills of New York. I can't say the name, and I will not attempt to, of the city. I think it's, like, Napanaw or something like that.
You just said you weren't going to attempt it.
I know.
I'm not going to attempt it, but I'm going to attempt it.
I do the same thing. That's awesome that you, like, live.
I feel like I had to. Yeah.
I feel like living in New York, you have so many places you can go to right there.
Yeah. It's a bit of a drive because I'm on the completely other side of the state. Mm. But we, like, sitting back and, like, now actually, like, realizing it, like, New York is filled with, like, haunted places, especially, like, over by me. Like, I can name, like, 5 within, like, an hour drive.
Yeah.
And, like, 3 of them are major ones. So, yeah, we're pretty blessed over here in the haunted realm.
I can't think of anything in Alabama. I know in Texas there's like the Alamo. Is there anything else like really known?
There's
a prison. What?
There's Goatman's Bridge out in Alton.
Okay.
I know that one.
Is that east? I think that's East Texas. Here's the issue with Texas.
Texas is
something in Texas that's further from me in Texas than Kentucky was from her in New York.
That's insanity.
Like, that's insane how Texas is that big.
It's outrageously large.
It blows my mind.
Somebody was talking earlier today about being in, I think she's from California and she's now in El Paso. And she was talking about the fact that it sucks that she can't get weed anymore. Like she can't just go get weed. And I was like, well, I mean, you could always go to Colorado. And then as I said it, I was like, but it might not be any further to just go to California.
Yeah.
Like you're already almost there at this point.
I don't know anything about geography.
I just know that Texas is huge. That's all.
It really, I mean, I know we say that everything's bigger in Texas, but Texas is legitimately just so huge when you're talking about distance between spaces.
It's like its own personal country.
Definitely.
Like, we can saw it off and it just, like, be its own little republic.
Okay, but please don't, because we have a real problem with our electrical grid here and I don't know that we're going to make it.
Okay, so when do we get to talk to you again? Do you want to do, like, a few different places and then come back on? Or do you want to do, like, each place you go, you come back on?
It doesn't matter to me whenever you guys will have me.
I mean, if you have a ton of activity in one place, like we might have you back on.
And
kind of less than maybe wait until you've done a couple, that might be the best way to do it.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to have you back. This is always a fun episode.
Oh, well, I'm so glad because like this is like one of the funnest podcasts I've ever done. So when
stop
it. Like,
do you just want free stickers?
Oh my god, tell me about it.
She should definitely get free stickers.
I'm gonna send her free stickers.
When you guys emailed me and you were like, we want you back and we love and like your listeners loved your episode, I was like, oh my god, shut up.
That was one of our highest listened episodes, that and the last one we just did with Chris.
People love to have people on that we enjoy talking to, apparently.
Yeah.
Even better. So we'll see how the Shanley goes. This hotel that I'm spending the night in, the two girls in Black Beak Paranormal, they actually rented it out for the night and just invited a couple people to come with them.
Yeah.
So we have the entire little hotel that once was a bordello. And like a little speakeasy to ourselves. And I think we're going to go live on Instagram for that. And then in May, I'm still trying to see if I can make it work. Mineral Springs Hotel in Alton, Illinois. I guess like the two people I went to Waverly with, they were like, come up to Elton for 2 days. And I was like, we'll see if I can do one.
That'll be so awesome.
Yeah. And then in June, at the end of June, when school lets out, I have 2 weeks off. So I'm going to fly to Vegas and go hang out with my sister and go to a couple ghost towns out there and see what I can get myself into. Even if it's just tours and stuff. Yeah. I'm excited. And then in September, I'm going to be at Madison Seminary, is the crazy, crazy place that I just covered. When it was the first stop on my little Ohio-Kentucky tour that I did, and literally after the tour ended, we were up in the asylum, and we were talking about, like, the doctor and, like, how nasty he would be to the patients, and it was just me and another female, and we heard a disembodied male voice in the stairway. I don't know what it said. Mm-hmm. She couldn't make out what it said, but she heard someone, like, to the point, like, we searched everywhere.
Yeah.
We couldn't find anyone, and we found one male who was, like, a volunteer. He was in the parking lot, and he was like, no, we were waiting for you to come out so we could go in. He never, like, went in there. So we have a night booked already there. it's going to be insane from like everything that I've heard and like just kind of like feeling while I was in doing that tour. So it's going to be interesting to like spend a whole night actually in that place.
Yeah,
that's I'm so excited.
Yay.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad you're excited.
Yeah, so... we will be in touch and have you back on after you're back from a couple
of weeks. Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, thank you, Courtney. You want to stay on while we do our outro really quick?
Sure, and this time I won't mess it up.
We mess it up half the time anyway.
it's never what it should be, but that's okay. We've said it before, we're a shit show. We're always going to say a shit show.
Probably.
What's a shit show? Always a shit show.
Exactly. Thank you so much for the continued support. Please find and follow us at Wild and Woke Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you're looking for bonus content, early episode releases, and free merch, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you have any weird, creepy, or wow, I can't believe this happened moments, please reach out because we want to hear them. Our email is wildandwokepodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, all stories start somewhere. Be wild, stay woke, and question everything.